Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Hugh Phillips has been described as a modern country bluegrass man with his heart right smack dab in the middle of the folk Americana scene. He has just recently recorded his debut solo CD. It's been a long time. Hugh joins us in this edition of Americana Music Profiles from Colorado to talk about his new music.
Hello, Hugh. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks for jumping in with us today. Good to talk to you. Where am I talking to you from at the moment?
Well, I'm in my studio in Carbondale, Colorado.
All right. And I was going to ask, you have a Nashville connection, so you're Colorado born, moved to Nashville, moved back. How does that work?
Well, actually, I was born back east in New Jersey.
Okay.
And finished high school out here in Colorado, and of course never went back because, just kind of fell in love with the mountains. So
yeah.
Been here most of my life, and I've got some Nashville connections just through a little bluegrass festival in Lyons, Colorado called Rocky Grass.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And and so I met Steve Mogin down there mm-hmm. a few years back, took a vocal course with him, and we became friends, and so that kind of connected me to Nashville professionally anyway. So
yeah, okay. So you if I read correctly, you had a career outside of music and somewhere a few years ago decided to make a transition, is that right?
Yeah, I'm a Toyota technician by trade.
Okay.
For 30 years, and just kind of decided the stress and the chemicals and everything weren't doing me justice. And
right.
I always loved music, grew up with it, and just said, you know what, if it's not now, then when?
So sure, yeah.
Just jumped in both feet, closed up my business, auctioned off the parts and pieces of it, and moved on. So
what was your connection to music prior to that and during those years when you were doing the full-time thing somewhere else?
Well, I grew up in a house of classical music. My mom's had, like many of us, had a piano lesson schedule.
Right.
For us kids, and we were active, in the school music program as well, playing a lot of woodwinds and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And her boyfriend at the time actually had a really good bluesy kind of piano thing going, and they would, him and my mom would play classical stuff together, but then he taught me a bunch of blues stuff.
Oh, cool.
And taught me about blues and kind of the call and answer ideas and things like that, and that kind of jumped me into really kind of looking at popular music in a whole different way.
Mm-hmm.
And, I love classical music, but it's really it's something that, for me, it's like work. It doesn't really get, I don't get to like listen and relax contemplate the human condition like you can with, country or Americana or blues or any of that. So I played trombone for a little bit. I played piano for a little bit, really wanted to play guitar, but that was kind of something that was not exactly welcomed in the house because it's hard to get across that I wanted to play an acoustic guitar, not screaming electric guitar, but
right.
Anyhow, so I didn't get into that till high school.
Okay.
And a friend of mine introduced me to the Grateful Dead, and kind of like Working Man's Dead, and a couple of those records, and then I kind of learned about Grisman and Jerry's projects, and then it sort of went into Tony Rice and so on and so forth, and really got into bluegrass and the acoustic music and flat picking and that kind of thing. So I've always really wanted to be good at that, but more of a campfire player for the most part. And had a cadre of country and bluegrass tunes over the years, but kind of just thought about really just settling in and taking guitar more seriously towards the end of having our shop. My wife and I had a Toyota repair shop.
Mm-hmm.
Towards the end of that 11 years of having the shop, I was really committing to playing guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of mine who had a bluegrass band, local bluegrass band, Straygrass, he saw that and he said, you should go to Rocky Grass and Lions and take some classes and meet some instructors and that kind of thing.
Yeah,
of course, that's a little, turns out playing bluegrass is a little factory for musicians. So I like to think I'm one of those that came out of that, spit out the other side, completely changed, and just on the road and not looking back. So.
Yeah, cool. Were you engaged in semi-professional, amateur professional group type situations while you were honing that craft and still working your day job?
A little bit. Yeah, it was more semi. Very professional. I got recruited to be a sideman on dobro and guitar and some backup singing in a couple of various different projects. And that sort of really helped me solidify, going forward and jumping in both feet to cut my income by 2/3 and play music and not be stressed out.
Was there a pivotal moment or an event or something that caused you to say, okay, let's just do it?
I think it was really Rocky Grass Academy.
Mm-hmm.
It was super intense. My friend was just absolutely sort of my guide in that week that we were there taking classes. And we weren't in classes together. We took completely different stuff. But what goes on at the campgrounds at night and the people you meet and play with.
Oh, yeah.
Sit alongside them. In my first year, I think I was sitting alongside of, or in between Uwe and Jens Kruger.
Right.
In a circle.
That's cool.
And, Uwe leans over to me and he says, Hugh, you're playing a D28. You don't have to beat on it. Be gentle to it. And I'm like, okay.
That's cool.
We've spoken in subsequent years. I don't see him very much, but, just absolutely amazing to be alongside powerhouse musicians.
Sure, yeah.
That definitely, for someone who goes from the campfire into the fire of, really top-notch musicians.
Right.
Definitely was changing for me.
Yeah. So if I read this correctly, you've got a new album out. It's been a long time, and this is the debut for you? So you left your day job in 16, and so what was the focus from then until getting this project ready to be released?
There was a lot of changes in our life. My wife and I picked up and moved to Carbondale from Grand Junction.
Okay.
And just really kind of wanted to do a full reset of what we were doing. And so my focus has been really just music and perfecting my craft, songwriting, networking, learning the business, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because clearly being an auto technician, there's not a lot of music involved except for what's on the radio when you're in the shop working
right.
or whatever.
Yeah.
We're going to pause for just a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the interview.
So songwriting has been something along the way, or is that more of a new venture for you?
It's a fairly new venture for me. I started writing probably back in, 2010, 2008, okay. somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't think much of it, but then, some friends of mine who would hear me play, some of my originals were like, wow, you should look a little more into writing more songs,
Yeah.
Got some good stuff.
That's good. Cool.
And I met a friend who was also a songwriter, and he had just reams of stuff that he had written.
Hmm.
And it was all really good, and he and I really kind of hit it off musically, and we've remained really good friends since. And he's on a sort of a parallel journey, we do a lot of sitting down and brainstorming, sometimes a co-write here and there. We have a new song that I think maybe on my, not next album, but maybe two albums out.
Hmm,
maybe
okay.
throw it on that. So,
the new one that's out now, you wrote all of those? Are those all originals?
Yep, they sure are.
Okay.
Yep.
And just decided that in the middle of a pandemic was a good time to release your debut record?
Yeah, well, that timing was pretty funky because we recorded that in December of 18.
Oh, wow, okay.
I think, or December 19.
Uh-huh.
Just, months before the pandemic.
Yeah, okay.
And so everything else, the pandemic hit a few weeks after.
Mm-hmm.
And we all kind of went, well, son of a gun, I'm not sure what we're going to do about this.
Yeah, like everybody else.
So, we decided to sit on it a while. And, I saw a lot of people holding back, and some people are still holding back.
Right.
On their releases. And I just kind of felt that, I have plans for at least two more records, which is probably planning far enough ahead.
Mm-hmm.
It is, but, mm-hmm. but, I thought that it's relevant now, and let's just dump it, and maybe we can shoot for kind of end of the year.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, in hopes that maybe this year will release a little bit.
Yeah.
And it has. We've got, we've got a few shows. I've got a root band together.
Okay.
And we've got a few shows.
And you got a little bit of chart action with it too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We've had, I've had, it started up CDX pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And it hit number two in February on Airplay Direct, so that was really cool. And country albums.
Mm-hmm.
I think, where we pushed it hard, it did really well. But I just, with the pandemic and not being able to tour and everything, it was just kind of, I was hesitant how much effort we wanted to put into the whole,
right.
whole thing.
Right.
And kind of, lay it as a foundation block for the next one. Because it's having a debut album, it's a huge market. So it's
mm-hmm.
pretty saturated.
Yeah, right.
And it's even
sure.
more saturated now than of last year. It's crazy. So
yeah, yeah. The
Fender sold out of guitars, right?
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. Well, the couple songs that really stood out for me. I think For the Love of Whiskey was the name of one of them. Has
mm-hmm.
this kind of a Hank Jr. feel. and then you kind of get all the way to the end of the record in the Steel Drivers. Steel Drivers. Yeah, the one at the end. Yeah, Lament. Yeah, kind of even has this almost bluegrass feel. Is the layout of that intentional, or is it just kind of the way they fell on the record?
No, it was completely intentional. We kind of felt Stephen Mogin produced it and did the sound engineer as well. But when we talked about sort of how to lay things out, we kind of felt that For the Love of Whiskey was kind of, it's a Hank Jr. kind of thing. It's also kind of a Waylon thing.
Right.
Really drives that sort of, the D chord drive kind of thing. So,
classic country.
Yeah. And that really came together well, just seemed to be something that could anchor, the center of the album. And then, Steel Drivers, it's interesting because we all put that we recorded as a band.
Okay.
As one take. And so cool. it jams on at the end, and we talked about just fading it out. And we did a couple of demos with a fade out, and neither one of us liked it. It just didn't really... it just really didn't feel as organic as the fact that the whole band jammed out. I mean, we were laughing at the end. We were like, how in the world did that just happen?
Yeah.
We just jammed it out. And we, had this orchestrated ending, and we're all in separate rooms. It was pretty funny.
Huh, that's cool.
so it really worked out. So we opted to put it at the end of the record and say, you know what, if people listen to the album in order, all six of us listen to the album in order, because I don't think anybody does anymore, but...
Right.
if somebody does, then they get to their last song, and they say, oh, wow, that's cool, I want more.
Right, so, yeah, okay. That's
cool.
That
was the idea.
Have you had a chance to, with your band, to share these with an audience, with a group of folks, either before or since the release?
We will in a couple of weeks with the full road band, but we haven't had anything other than I've done a couple of solo things on the radio here locally. Most of it, trying to get in to do a live thing or something like that, it was pretty hard.
Right. Yeah.
Just because everything's closed.
Sure. Yeah.
And then we had a quick, an offer to do a concert at Steve's Guitars here locally, which is a really cool listening room. It was a live stream. But I think we only had like 3 days notice on it. And I said, heck, I'm local, I'll do it. And, but the band couldn't do it, so it was just me.
Okay.
So that would have been a band thing, but it was just, too tight. And we'll do that again, I'm sure, later in the season. But that was really weird because there was no audience.
Right.
It was just...
Yeah, those are tough.
Being in this venue.
Yeah.
My wife was in the corner under one of the cameras. It was really weird.
What's your hope with it this summer? Festivals, venues, coffee shops? Where do you feel like this is going to fit?
I'm hoping we have a couple of small venues already booked. Everybody's sort of scrambling, meaning every band in the universe is scrambling for whatever's open.
Right.
If
oh, yeah.
Wanting to tour, so it's pretty tight competition, to say the least, to get in. But I think we're doing okay. We're doing everything from solo acts due to financial restrictions on some of the venues, to full band at anything. We're doing a bike race in a couple of weeks.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And then we're doing, in the fall, we've got the KAFM radio room booked, which is an 80-seat theater in Grand Junction. So we have, you know, it's kind of all over the board.
Yeah.
And there's some, yeah, there's some other stuff, some festivals, farmers markets.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, we're taking what we can get because, you know,
right,
it's still a little funky.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, everybody's trying to do the same thing. It's, man, it's coming, but it's a slow process. So we certainly wish you well with it. So the record again is It's Been a Long Time. If folks want to listen to it, want to get in touch with you, talk to you about it a little bit, they want to get a copy of it, what's the best way to do all of that?
They can do that through our website, which is hughphillipsmusic.com.
Okay.
And yeah, there's a contact, there's download or physical, there's merch, there's a concert calendar, and other pertinent information. You can also hit us up on the social, Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah.
Hugh Phillips Music there. And, yeah, the website's constantly changing, so there's always something new to check out there. And hopefully we put in for the IBMA and Americana Music Association showcases this year.
Maybe, yeah,
maybe we'll get a bite on that.
Yeah, that's great. That's awesome. Well, we wish you well with it, Hugh. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us, and look forward to catching you at one of those events. I feel confident the music fits for sure, so we hope that they think the same thing.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for having me, and we'll see you out there, hopefully.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Frenino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.